Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This bug is drugged. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
To be a scientist and researcher with lots of money and resources is a beautiful thing. A thing that could further technological evolution, change the way we live our lives, maybe even save lives. But unfortunately, not every experiment is going to be this cathartic breakthrough. Sometimes, you just give a lot of drugs to spiders and call it a day. And that's what we're talking about on this episode, the notorious Peter N. Witt and NASA studies of how well spiders perform their web spinning under copious amounts of drugs. In 1948, Swiss zoologist H.M. Peters was studying the web patterns of garden spiders and was fed up with his early, grueling research schedule. The garden spiders he studied made their webs in an inconvenient window between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., and Peters wanted his sleep schedule and sanity back. That's when he made a request to his colleague, pharmacologist Peter N. Witt. Peters wanted Witt to help him shift the time garden spiders built their webs to something a little bit earlier and less annoying. Apparently, Witt didn't have much going on and was up for the task. He decided that to change the schedule of the spiders, he would use what most humans use to stay awake and perform, or to fall asleep early. Drugs. Witt dissolved an array of different drugs into sugar water, and to administer, touched a drop of the sugar drug solution to the spider's tiny little mouth. In later studies, spiders were fed their drugs by way of flies, who were also drugged. The webs were photographed for each spider before and after the drugging. The drugs administered were psychoactive, ranging from amphetamines, mescaline, strychnine, LSD, and caffeine. And his findings? While dosing the poor garden spiders with drugs didn't change when they built their webs, it did change the shape and structure of the webs themselves, in a way that was absolutely fascinating and a little unhinged. All the drugs made the webs look wild, except for LSD, which made the web look actually weirdly beautiful, without the kind of rose you see in a normal web, but similar to that, structured, meticulous. It looks kind of like a sun with rays emanating from it. The web with caffeine, out of weed, ecstasy, and the rest, looks absolutely unhinged, which is surprising. It's just caffeine. It has no center, no real rows or columns, just absolute insanity. So that was the weird experiment that was discontinued because, well, it didn't really help anyone, especially not Peters. But in 1995, a NASA research group decided, what the hell, let's dose more spiders with LSD. More on that after the break. In 1995, NASA began carrying the torch of research-based spider drugging, repeating Witt's experiments on the effect of caffeine, benzedrine, marijuana, and chloral hydrate on European garden spiders. NASA's results were pretty much exactly the same as Witt's. They have here, in a graphic that you can find online, the regular spider web, which is exactly what you'd imagine. It's kind of round, it's got the center, it's got these little feet that attach to a tree branch or however the web is being affixed. You know what I'm talking about. Then they have one with a spider that took marijuana. This one still kind of looks web-like. It's a little bit more geometric, doesn't have quite the same like rings around to the center. Then there's the benzedrine one, which looks like a spider web that you've like taken and manipulated. It's kind of like a pinwheel shape, so still has some order, but again, looks like the spider was not doing its job. The caffeine one and the chloral hydrate one are unrecognizable as spider webs. Caffeine is wild. It's got just different little spindles going everywhere, different little arms. The chloral hydrate one looks like a bad cat's cradle, like you still see a center, but again, both completely unrecognizable as spider webs at all. But in medical terms, the article reported, quote, "It appears that one of the most telling measures of toxicity is a decrease in comparison with a normal web of the numbers of completed sides in the cells. The greater the toxicity, the more sides the spider fails to complete." Which in layman's terms means the more fucked up a spider is on drugs, whatever drug you pick, the more rows it can't spin like a normal spider. So why even do this? Great question. NASA's researchers said that the approach to toxicity testing could serve as an alternative to testing harmful chemicals on, quote, higher animals, read cuter ones with fur and wet noses. Less animal testing is ultimately a pretty worthy endeavor, in my opinion. Still, NASA discontinued the study, at least according to my research, which doesn't leave us with much. I can't imagine that it made any changes in animal testing or left a mark on history. Just a lot of really insane and pretty cool-looking diagrams of spider webs fueled by copious amounts of drugs.